Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day. A big blast for the Baltimore Orioles.
The 0-1 pitch to Trumbo. Fly ball will hit the left. No doubt about this one. Going, gone. Home run, Mark Trumbo. Orioles have scored three times here in the fourth. Trumbo, a two-run shot. His 38th home run of the year. RBIs 91 and 92. And the Orioles jumping on A.J. Cole here in the bottom of the fourth.
Trumbo, 38 home runs this year. Impressive. And the Orioles did win it last night, 4-2-3 over the Washington Nationals. Big win for the Orioles. Right now, they would be the second wild card team. They would be number two to either the winner between the Red Sox and the Blue Jays. So that's, I mean, because right now the Red Sox and Blue Jays are tied for first. David Price, very quietly, has now won his last three starts. And you realize what Price has now done this year? Price now has 10 starts this year in which he has gone 8 innings or better. Wow. That's... something you don't see.
It's probably people in Detroit are thinking, "Ah, why couldn't you have done that for us?"
Yeah. Absolutely. Actually, he was doing it in Detroit. It was just in Toronto. He's just, you know, the oddity is he's never been a great postseason pitcher. That's the oddity about him. But he's 12-8 now. He's won his last three starts. He's gone 8 innings or better now in 10 starts this year. And that's not talked enough about. Guys that can give your bullpen days off. John Lester can do that. Arrieta can do that. Certain pitchers can do that. I think the Britton kid is going to be the Cy Young Award winner, the bullpen ace. He's been awesome. He enters the game. The game's over. Dick in Milton. Hi, Dick. How you doing?
Hey. Good, Steve. Trumbo's last 7 hits have been home runs.
How about that?
For the record, 11, McGuire.
How many games?
I don't recall. He had his first one at Oakland when they were on the West Coast, but his last 7 hits have been home runs.
Wow.
There were games he didn't have a hit, obviously. So.
Right, but still.
I think that they said the record was 11 by McGuire. Somebody has 8, so he could, you know, we'll see what happens. I wanted to ask you about the Hall of Fame, and, I mean, I heard I'll use it a dissertation word on Rose. What about Hall of Famers that have used steroids? I mean, there are some in there. There have to be. There can't be all those guys that did what they did and never used steroids. That's my only thing. So basically what they were doing was illegal.
It's an interesting question because I'm not sure, based on known era, how many there are.
It's got to be a significant number.
Do you think they've been using steroids that long?
Well, no, but they went through an era there where there's a lot of guys that did a lot of things that almost seemed superhuman, you know, with the Maguires and the Sosas and all the guys that are. I'm just using that era right. Guys, but there's a lot of guys. And I guess what's kind of unfair about it, there's guys that get in the Hall of Fame that I'm pretty sure were using steroids, and guys that can't get in that played in the same eras that didn't use, that were pretty darn good ball players that they don't even hardly ever get votes. They just did it normally with their careers. There has to be some of that also. I guess that's my point.
Well, I think it's a good point, but I'm trying to think. who's in now that would fall into that category?
Well, I'm not sure now, but they're coming up. There's, you know, the Bunces. There's a lot of guys going to come up for
but they aren't getting votes, Dick. Sosa's off the ballot. Yeah. McGuire's not going to make it. Bonds, I don't think he's going to make it. Roger Clemens isn't going to make it. Rafael Palmeiro's not going to make it.
So basically, you'll have a Hall of Fame without some of the best ball players in the history of baseball.
Yeah, I mean, all the guys I just cited. Now that doesn't mean you're not correct. I mean, by a long shot, I'm sure there's somebody in there that used. Of course, now there's been sneaking suspicions about Piazza, right?
Right.
But there was never any about Ken Griffey Jr. They both went in this summer. But McGuire hardly gets any votes. Sosa gets fewer. Palmeiro doesn't get any. Bonds gets some, but nowhere close to 75%. Clemens doesn't. I mean, that's a long list of... I mean, all those guys, the hitters, McGuire, Bonds, Palmeiro, Sosa, I mean, all hit 500 home runs or better in their career. And Clemens went over 300 games, and none of them are even getting close to sniffing the Hall of Fame.
Maybe somebody with a lot of money should go somewhere else in the United States and open up a Bad Boys Hall of Fame.
See, now that's the entrepreneur in you coming out.
I'm just saying, they get a lot of visitors.
Oh, I think it would get a lot of visitors.
I mean, it might not be like Cooperstown, but it would be a different, because there would be some really famous guys there, a lot.
I mean, think of this. You're going to have a Baseball Hall of Fame that will not have the all-time hit leader in it and will not have the all-time home run leader in it and the most dominant pitcher of his era in it.
What about guys like Paul Hornung that bet on football?
That's a really interesting case, because Hornung made it, but Alex Karras didn't.
Right.
And Alex Karras, as you and I both know, was an excellent pro player with the Detroit Lions. And same thing. Karras and Hornung were both accused of betting on their teams to win.
Right.
And if it wasn't for the influence of Vince Lombardi, they probably would have been out longer than just 1 year. And they both, Hornung made the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Karras did not. And I think that's a very interesting case study that you bring up.
Karras also played an episode of MASH, and Hornung never did.
True. And Karras also knocked out a horse in Blazing Saddles.
I just thought it was interesting, because I'm sure there's guys that are in the Hall of Fame. And I'll go back to my favorite sign ever, when it was McGuire and Sosa was having the home run contest. Somebody in Yankee Stadium held up a sign, Babe Ruth did it with beer and hot dogs. I just love that. They actually showed it on television.
How many did Boog Powell hit? I loved watching him hit.
Yeah, he hit.
I mean, did he hit 400 home runs?
I don't want to tell you he hit 400. I don't know what the number was. But, you know, hitting Memorial Stadium was a little different hitting in Camden Yards still. So.
Ooh, that's true. That is very true.
If you believe Wikipedia, Boog Powell, 339 home runs, 17-year career.
But as I say, Camden Yards and Memorial Stadium are two different baseball ballparks. They hit a home run out. That's the way it is.
Well, and see, that was the deal with Ken Griffey Jr. when he was playing out at the Kingdom. That was, he could hit them out of there with complete ease. They started becoming some warning track shots when he went to Safeco.
I mean, there's ballparks are ballparks. It's just the way it is. It's just, I'm not sure. I think Oakland's pretty hard to hit a ball home run out of.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, Oakland is. City Field was, too, until they moved the fences in. San Diego always has been a tough place. Did home runs in.
Hitting them in Colorado was always fairly easy.
Oh, my goodness. I'm surprised there's not a Colorado Rocky in the Hall of Fame now for hitting 500 home runs there.
But it is. I mean, just the way it is up there. It's just it's all kind of subjective, because ballparks are just tough and some aren't.
But you know what's interesting about that point, Dick, is that how often we've heard when Major League Baseball might consider expanding, one of the places they're looking at is Mexico City. Mexico City is 3,000 feet higher than Denver.
Right, I know. Yeah. What about hitting balls indoors as opposed to outdoors?
Yeah.
There has to be some effect.
There has to be some effect. I don't think there's any question about that. But then again, there's also the effect of having a ballpark where the wind's blowing out.
It's kind of like when I started playing fantasy football, and I played for like, 27 or 28 years, 29 years of fantasy football. But when we first did it, I would always draft a kicker that played indoors and one that drafted played inside. Because sometimes the weather was going to be bad at the ballpark.
Oh, my goodness. Absolutely. Well, you heard that when Chris Wheeler was on the show yesterday, I don't know if you had a chance to hear that show or not.
No, I missed it yesterday. I knew you were down there, but I couldn't listen.
Chris was talking about Candlestick Park versus AT&T Park.
Right.
And he says AT&T Park to him is the finest park in the country. He said that and Citizens Bank, because he obviously loves Citizens Bank Park. But he says outside of Citizens Bank, AT&T is the best. And then he started talking about old Candlestick out in the Point where it was cold, raw, lots of wind. And Willie Mays still had a chunk of home runs there.
Yeah, and that was in the middle of July when it was like that.
Oh, yeah. And I followed up with the story about the year that San Francisco decided to run a commercial for season tickets for the Giants. And a season ticket holder comes to the gate, has bought season tickets, and is presented with the Croix de Candlestick, like that slice of honor that you're going to sit out here and gut it out for all 81 games.
The other thing I was going to know, I'm going to hang up, but I'd be anxious or interested to see if they took a fan, maybe they have a fan vote about Rose in the Hall of Fame, how it would go. A baseball fan vote. I don't mean people don't give a darn about baseball.
If I were to guess, Dick, and it's only a guess, I bet he'd get in.
I would think so, too. I don't mean the average. I'm just talking about people that are actually baseball fans. And not necessarily Cincinnati fans either. But.
Yeah, I think that if we put it to a fan vote, it would be close. Because I think we'd have to do the fan vote the same way that the writers do it. So, in other words, to be approved by the fans in this poll you're talking about, you'd have to have at least 75%.
Well, by and large, he's not going to get in, so it's all a moot point.
But it is interesting, though. It is interesting. I there's no doubt in my mind he would get at least 60% of the fan vote, if not higher. And I think he would be close to that neighborhood of 75%. Because time does heal all wounds. He's still out there. People see how many hits he had. And maybe there are people after 27 years that feel he served his penance.
The other thing I was going to ask you, when you were naming the guys that you were going through the pitching, didn't you mention a position player? Didn't you mention a position player, the type of guy out of the lineup because he needed a day's rest?
Oh, yeah. And I said, look, just for name's sake, I'll just use a current player. And I said, Joey Votto.
Right. And then I'm thinking about guys like, there's lots of them that played. Pete Rose was one of them that played well over 500 games, and Ripken played well over 2,000 games and never took a day off. That was my point there. And it wasn't like the manager said, geez, I think I'll give this guy a day's rest.
Right.
Rose had over 700 straight games. I think it was over 700 straight days.
Right, exactly. But again, what signal does it send that you've blown out your bullpen the night before?
Well, pitching's a little different animal.
And you don't bet on the next day. Now, that sends a signal to every bookie out there as to how you're playing the game that day.
Yeah, and they already have inside information. They don't need that.
Yeah.
I'm going to hang up on that.
Yeah.
See ya.
Thanks, Dick. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, great to have you with us. A lot going on. Otto Bolden's going to join us next week, talk about track. What a job he did at the Olympics. Otto Bolden on the show next week. And then we're going to get one of the writers from Fox Sports on for football. So we have a choice on that. Well done. Very nice.
And we did not forget about Vern Lundquist. We'll keep working on that, too.
Can't forget about Uncle Vern.
No way. You kidding me?
Now, he'll still do the Masters. He'll still do the NCAA tournament. But this will be his last season doing the SEC on CBS. How about the Mike Tirico situation? How about that one?
It's funny. I was watching quite a bit of Olympics on NBC on Sunday, and I did catch the conversation, the live chat between Dan Patrick and Mike Tirico, and I'm thinking, what's with the snark? What's going on? I didn't know the story that was going on, the behind-the-scenes story about him not being on Thursday Night Football after all.
I guess what happened was that when NBC bid, for Thursday Night Football, it seems to have been under the premise that the number one Sunday night group would do the game, like Nance and Sims do. And so when they announced it was, you know, hey, Tirico's going to do Thursday Night Football, the NFL is like, it's not what we agreed to. And they said part of the bid that NBC put in was that they were going to do Thursday night like they do Sunday night. And so, it's going to be Michaels and Collinsworth and Michelle Tafoya. Because I think there was some talk it was going to be Tirico, Chris Collinsworth, and Heather Cox. And NBC, the NFL... No. Now, obviously, teams have the say over announcers. I mean, look, obviously, Penn State approves that Jack Ham and I announce the games. In fact, my contract is with Penn State. So, obviously, they have approval as to whether we're announcing the game or not. Merrill Reese has to be approved by the Eagles. Bill Hillgrove has to be approved by the Steelers. Now, that may not be, I don't know who pays them, but the university or team reserves the right of approval over an announcer. Well, here's a case where the league is, and not only that, but you're saying no to the guy that did Monday Night Football for the last 10 years. How about that? You're saying no to the guy who did Monday Night Football for 10 years, who's really, really good. Obviously, Al Michaels is great. But I think that's a bizarre situation. But Michaels and Collinsworth are doing Thursday Night Football. They get five of them, by the way. They say Tirico may do the NFL Network versions of it. Okay? So that's where he might come into play. When it's NFL Network only. Hey, that's under the category to me of wow. That was a real bizarre turn of events.
Plus, you're adding Twitter into the mix. They're going to have Thursday night games on Twitter as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, okay.
I mean, my preference, if I chose Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, my go-to is Twitter, and I'm still trying to figure out how that's going to work. I'll choose my big screen over Twitter any day.
I know Learfield in recent years has, you know, and I see the internal emails, encourage their announcers to do stuff on Twitter. And, of course, you know I don't. You know, they've never once come to me and told me I had to do it. Not only that, they never once come to me and told me even about it. I've read about it. I've seen emails about it. But the emails were to the general managers and so forth, and were not directed at me. And I have worked with, on Big Ten Network, announcers that were doing Twitter and commercial breaks. And they were, A, great to work with and really good people and excellent announcers. But if I wanted to talk to them about something quickly, I couldn't do it until they were done with it. I'm glad I don't have to do it, because I really want to just lock in and concentrate on the game and not try to concentrate on a social media platform. But that's me. I just feel I can do a better broadcast when I'm just locking in on doing the broadcast and the game. And in the end, I think the broadcast is the most important thing. Not what you think my opinion is about a play or something that happened in 140 characters or less.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Time now for our sports bozo of the day. Dez Bryant. Now, he's out with a concussion, and at least the timing of it is such that it does buy everybody time for him to properly heal. He is a brilliant athletic talent, but he's upset that his rating on Madden is not high enough for him. Why do you care? Who cares what your rating on Madden is? Why don't you care about how many playoff games you've won? I love Bryant's performance in the Super Bowl. Oh, that's right. He's never been there. I love Bryant's performance in the NFC Champ. No, he's never been there either. Maybe they ought to start winning instead of complaining about your ranking on Madden. Now, to his credit, he loves the game and he loves playing the game. That's fine. But it's why do you care what your Madden ranking is? Everybody I'm talking to out there right now, I think, would love to have a Madden rating, wouldn't you?
Sure.
I think the Sue puts himself in the game, right?
Either him or her son, yeah, I would think.
I wonder how well that goes.
So this makes Dez Bryant at least a two-time Sports Bozo of the Day. Yeah, we had him on Sports Bozo earlier in the year when we were talking about when he trashed the rental property that was linked to a state senator in Texas, and that still has not been resolved.
All right.
One thing after another.
Yeah. So, oh well. So he makes it today. Congrats. Way to go. The world loves you. I guess there's a recruit, I don't know where he's from, but received a letter from Michigan thanking them for going to the bash and everything like that. And he's like, I didn't go to your bash. whoops.
Coach Harbaugh.
Form letter.
Coach Harbaugh, clear to comment.
Form letter. All right. 57th year of CBS and games. It'll be Jim Nantz, Phil Sims, Tracy Wolfson. They start with the Bengals and the Jets. Ian Eagle, Dan Fouts, and Evan Washburn. Greg Gumbel, Trent Green, Jamie Ertl, Kevin Harlan, Rich Gannon, Spiro Dedis, and our friend Solomon Wilcots. Andrew Catalan, Steve Tasker, Steve Berline, Tom McCarthy, Phillies announcer, and Adam Archuleta, and Carter Blackburn and Chris Sims. Besides those eight tandems, Brad Nessler will call several NFL games this year. Nessler's just really good. There are a lot of people that feel that he is going to be the one that will succeed Vern Lundquist on the SEC, and he will be a great choice. James Brown will once again anchor the NFL today with Boomer Esiason, Bill Cowher, Tony Gonzalez, Bart Scott. They'll be joined by Jason Lacanfora on the pregame show, of which all of them, I can equally say of each one of them, I watch none. Let's see. Sims and Nance will work. Bengals Jets in the opening weekend. Jets Bills on Thursday night. Colts Broncos on Sunday. Texans Patriots on Thursday. Steelers at Eagles on Sunday. Dolphins and Bengals on the 29th of September. Those are their opening 4 weeks for CBS. So they'll have the Eagles and the Steelers. Nance, Sims, and Tracy Wolfson. I mean, what's interesting is that the Eagles and the Steelers, there's no rivalry there at all. I mean, none. They never play. I mean, yeah, there'll be some good-natured jabbing back and forth, but they don't play that much. How often have they ever played since they've gone to the merger in 1970?
Usually once every 4 years, and that's it.
Yeah. There's no rivalry.
It's kind of like the vibe between the Pirates and Phillies, in a way.
Yeah, they don't play that often.
Six times. That's it. And it's a shame.
They play a three-game set in Pittsburgh and a three-game set in Philadelphia, and that's it. Man, that's limited. That's really limited. And they're in the same league. Oh, well. There are a lot of ways to kill rivalries. You know, because obviously Penn State Pitt's coming up. People will talk about how the rivalry was killed and the whole thing. There are a lot of ways of doing it. You know, Oklahoma, Nebraska was killed by the Big 12 by putting them in separate divisions. And so because of the rules on you have to play everybody in your division and X amount on the other side, and then they rotate out, they're, you know, a couple of years here and a couple of years there where Oklahoma and Nebraska didn't even play. And the same thing in professional sports. Steelers and Eagles have not been in the same conference since 1969. And, of course, then it was the AFL. NFL wasn't even conferences. So since 1970, they've been in different conferences. They hardly ever play. The Eagles' big rivalries are the Redskins, the Cowboys, the Giants, the Steelers, or the Ravens, the Bengals, and the Browns. Those are your divisional rivals. They're all regional. The Eagles are right there in that corridor. Steelers are right there in that corridor. So, I mean, it's all regional. It's all close. Great. But in terms of the same state, Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, no. But then again, the Niners and the Rams are in a different conference than the Chargers and the Raiders. Same state. Jags are in the AFC. Dolphins are in the AFC. Tampa Bay's in the NFC. Houston and Dallas are in different conferences. They hardly ever play. That's a big deal when they do. But not being an every year thing, a little different. What a great time we had yesterday. Penn's Tavern. Liz, Tom, thanks so much for everything. It was really a terrific day. Great to see the Purdy's out there, the Purdy staff. Great to see Corey, who, by the way, if you want to talk about coming through big. All of a sudden, I'm sitting there, and what do I have in front of me? A platter of cut-up Brewers Outlet pickles. How about that? Pretty good night.
You would have thought you would have showed up at his tailgate yesterday. It's like, turn the corner, boom, commercial break, taking care of you and Wheels.
That was great.
That was awesome. Wouldn't expect less from Corey.
No, I wouldn't either. You know what? He always does that for me. You know that? Whenever people have come here to the studio, he's given them sampler packs to bring over here for me. He's always been great about that. He's always shown up at these things. He's always had something for all the time. Last year we did that up in the north side of 147. He had stuff for me. It's like, he's great. I'll tell you, generous to a fault. He's great. Really great. So, I get this email today, and somebody won some contest for charity. I think it was for the Pink Zone to be in the booth, right? And I received the email. Do you know about this? No. Do you care? No. Just let him come up. It's for charity. I don't care. I mean, the DeMille film up there, it doesn't matter. I don't worry about that stuff.
That's one of those deals give you not even a 1 hour notice. No big deal. No sweat off your brow.
Look, if it benefited,
it's another great day at the office.
If it benefited a charity, I'm all for it. That's great. That's fine. Yeah, we'll just kind of sit there, do our deal, and you know, during commercial breaks, we'll go back, we'll talk to you for a while. I remember one time somebody won something, and they had their son with them. And they're like, well, we don't want to intrude in the whole thing. And I said, come on up, put a headset on. Yeah, we'll put a headset on him. You know, obviously the headset wasn't on for him to talk. But it's something he's never going to forget. It never hurts to be nice. Oh, although, how about Chris's story about Roger eyeballing him, maybe throwing him out? How about that story yesterday?
Drew got a sigh of relief when we mentioned that story yesterday. Hey, you weren't the only one. You're now part of a club.
He'll get. Who are you? What are you doing here? We're doing a broadcast. Jack and I are like, hey, how are you? I don't know who you are, but come on in.
I was tempted to drop the rooster a message on Facebook with a link to the podcast page.
No,
hey, we're won't do that.
No.
I will not.
No. Let laying dogs sleep, my man.
That's right.
Okay, please, no. Okay, because he would get a little.
He would.
He would get upset.
He would. We're not going to do that. I'm going to stay in his good graces.
Ay, ay, ay. Yeah, sure. Come on in. Do you know these people? No, I really don't. But that seems fine to me.
Just protecting the turf.
Oh, no, he's just looking out for us. He's not, I completely understand. He's looking out for us, looking out for the broadcast. You know, but we're like, yeah, whatever. Sure, come on in. Join the party. I'm complimenting anybody who wants to come up and see us. Okay, great. But when he threw Graham Spanier out, that wasn't good. That was bad. But yeah, they got a hold of me and they're like, what about this? I'm like, I don't know anything about it. Okay, what are your concerns? None, like, let them come up. Charity, I think it was for the Pink Zone, so it benefited breast cancer research. I'm like, I'm sorry, the answer is no. I don't think so. Oh, man. Well, let's take a break. Final segment coming up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
All
All right, down the stretch we come here with today's show. Coming up guest-wise, Jack Ham is going to be joining us. I think it's going to be Monday next week. Jordan Rodriguez, Center Daily Times. We have her on Monday's show. We're going to have Otto Bolden from NBC on with a wrap of track and field. That was personally arranged by the suit. No, it wasn't. But the suit is happy.
He is.
He's very happy.
He is.
Yeah. So
that, and he is now contractually obligated with Learfield again for another year. You and him got something in common. I knew it'd leave you speechless there for a couple seconds.
I'm just glad he's back doing it.
He is. Yep, he'll be back with Doug doing Bucknell football over on Eagle 107. Yep.
He and Doug do a great job together.
Yep, and for Bucknell Bison football fans in the area, the Bucknell weekly football luncheons will kick off a week from tomorrow at La Primavera in Lewisburg. So you can get in contact with Bucknell football on campus and come on out, get a great lunch, meet Joe Susan, and Joe brings a couple of different players along each week and talks to the group. It's always a fun time.
That's terrific. No, it's really great.
And we'll definitely have Joe Susan on the show. And because of Monday's schedule and Labor Day, he may be on a couple of Tuesdays here to start the season. But, yeah, we'll have
it's
Joe.
All right.
Yep, you betcha. We'll get Joe on for sure each week.
Yep, we'll do that.
Yep.
I enjoy those weekly talks very much.
Oh, man, you and him talking ball, he's just such a terrific person.
And
he posted something really good on Facebook a couple days ago called Pain. I wanted to I'll send you that message.
Yeah, his tolerance level with me is pretty high. That's good.
So, no, you weren't mentioning it.
So there we go. That's what we have coming up. And, of course, the opening week of the season is next week. Now, some high school football teams start this week, right? Start Friday night?
Yep. We will have four of our five Sunbury broadcasting stations will be up and cooking with Sewell's Grove, Lewisburg, Milton, and Shikellamy. And we'll get some of the play-by-play guys on with us. The tradition, of course, the Thursday 3:35 slot. We'll get some of our gentlemen on, Pat and Mike Ferlazzo. He'll be the voice of Shikellamy Braves football this season. We'll have Mike on from time to time. I know, big shoes to fill. I know. And
No, Dick Hort's back.
He is. It was great to see him last night, too. So, and Greg Wetzel. We introduced Greg Wetzel to our broadcast team. He'll be doing Lewisburg Green Dragons football over on 100.9 The Valley. So we'll have Greg checking in from time to time. And, of course, Steve Williams, too, our voice of Shikellamy Wrestling. He and Brett will be back on doing Milton football on WMLP again this year.
Right.
So get them all.
Yeah, well, I can't wait. So the first games are coming up this week. Now, does Danville play?
They do.
So the suit will be out at Danville. I guess he's insane up there.
Danville and Bloomsburg play Friday night, week one.
Oh, I have a speech in Harrisburg. Should be done around 8:30. Wonder if I could pop up and see the end. That way, and just do it with a camera to film the suit. No?
If not this week, you got 9 remaining.
It doesn't bother me they're starting early. That doesn't bother me. That's fine.
Just seems like everyone says, oh, man, can't believe football season's here already. Well, it's kind of, it's that reality. Well, the reality hit us last night. We knew we'd get the fall sports party at Penn's Tavern last night. Then reality sets in. Oh, yeah. But we've been planning for it around here for, a couple months now.
Yeah, but I don't mind the fact that it starts a week earlier. I don't think there's much difference between August 26th and some years starting the 30th or 31st. What's the difference? 5 days?
And I think with the people with the thirst for football that so many people have, I don't think it bothers them one bit either. Hey, sooner the better.
Well, not only that, it's not Labor Day weekend.
and you get started on, you know, and they're doing this because of the new six classifications that the PIAA has this year, and they gave them the option of starting on August 26th. I think that's fine. I think, you know, people want to, you know, going out in shirt sleeves and kicking back and watching a game. My goodness, if it's a night like tonight, tonight's gorgeous. Last night was gorgeous. I mean, last night was as perfect a night. I mean, I'm sitting there on that deck last night. We're doing the Q&A. I'm looking out at, you know, at the crowd. I'm looking out at the river. I'm looking out at the docks. I'm looking out at the deep blue sky above. Temperature's comfortable. I'm like thinking, this is great. And it's the same kind of night tonight. I mean, the Spikes are going to play a home game tonight. Well, it's about as perfect a night as you can have. And the football team's going to go in the stadium tonight.
So between now and next Saturday, Kent State, will they be in the stadium, do you think, one more time? Maybe, maybe not?
No, this is it. I don't think they're going to go Saturday. He might. You know what? He might go Saturday morning up there. I don't think so. But he deliberately brought them into the stadium. They've been in the stadium. One, two, three. This will be the fourth time they've been in the stadium. And he wanted to do it just to get it out of the young players' systems. So tonight will be the fourth time he's gone into the stadium, because he went Saturday in the stadium, and he was in the stadium. They were in the stadium for, oh my goodness, 2.5, 3 hours on Saturday. And they went back in the stadium on Sunday, too. And then, of course, they went the 13th there in the stadium. So tonight will be the fourth time they've been in the stadium. I think at that point, I don't, you know, I think now you've kind of hit your limit. He met with the freshmen on Sunday morning to give them the green light, yellow light, red light deal. So they had, now all the freshmen have a handle about where they are in the, currently in the pecking order for the season opener.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.